Let's talk for just a while about making the most of your time. We find in these verses that Paul is telling the Ephesian brethren that very thing. But he says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as wise, unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time. And as you look down through, starting in verse 6 and read down through there, he talks about a lot of these things that he says the things that are done are going to be exposed, right? And so everything's going to become visible in the light, and people are going to, or God is going to know, God is going to find out all of these things that you've done. And again, at that point, he says, therefore, because of that, be careful how you walk and make the most of your time. There's probably all, we probably all have been in situations where we needed to make the most of our time. We only had a certain amount of time to help. I helped a friend of mine move, you know, not too long, a couple weeks ago. And that's what I told him when I showed up early in the morning. I said, listen, I'm only here for a little while because I got something else to do. So make the most of the time. You know, let's not, you know, sit around and reminisce. If you need help, let's do it. Let's go and try to make the most of the opportunity that you had to use somebody's assistance who was there to help carry heavy things. And that's usually what I'm good for and good at. I'm not, you know, don't ask me to be smart, but if you need me to carry something heavy, I can probably help with that. And so make the most of your time. Interesting that when we become a child of God, we never make another decision alone. Now, I know some of you guys said, well, that happened when I got married, right? When you become a child of God, you should never make another decision by yourself. God should always be included in every decision that you make. That's why in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, it says, as obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance. Right? If you're obedient children, what happened when you were by yourself, when you were alone, when you weren't a child of God? You did things in ignorance. You followed after your lust. Don't do that anymore. Include God in that. That's why we're told in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. To please Him in all respects. And so every decision that we make should be made with Him in mind. How are we choosing to use that time? We sing a song from time to time that starts out, swiftly we're turning life's daily pages, right? The hours are changing to years. How are we using God's golden moments? And that's what they are. They're God's golden moments. God's precious time that He's given us. And so how are we using that time? How do we make the most of that time? Do you realize that time is one of the greatest gifts that you can give to anyone? Right? Because, and you may say, well, I don't know about that. But let me ask you this, right? Do you want to, when that friend calls and says, hey, can you come help me move? Would you rather go help them move, or just would you rather say, you know what, let me send you some money, right? And hire somebody else to do it. Or let me buy you lunch, right? Time is what they need, but sometimes money is what we would rather give. Now, again, it's not bad to give somebody money to try to help them out, but we understand the concept, right? Our time is important. And so I can remember, again, I helped a friend move a couple weeks ago, and when I got that call, I kind of went, because I had a lot of other things to do. And so what I tried to do was, okay, I can, but I can only give you X amount of time. So we need to be busy while we're there. And so, you know, let's get as much done as we can while I'm there. Because in my mind, I thought, oh, I've got so much else to do. But you know what? He didn't need my prayers at that moment, and I prayed for him, but he didn't need them. He needed my help. And so I tried to make time Are we making that kind of time for God? And are we making those kind of sacrifices for God? So I want to just take the rest of the time tonight and just look at three ways in which we can try to make the most of our time. The first thing that I want us to consider is that we need to carve out quiet time for God every single day. Any time that you would go into any sort of, therapy that where you're trying to mend a relationship, right? Any relationship is going to succeed or fail on communication. Think about the husband and wife relationship. It succeeds and it fails on communication, right? If you're not talking to one another, if you're not on the same page as one another, things are going to get very difficult. All right, so that means if child A comes to mom and says, can I have this? And mom says, no, dad needs to get that. Because goes to dad and says, can I have this? And dad says, sure, why not? What's happened? Right? It's broken down, right? The family dynamic is starting to break down. Husbands and wives need to communicate with one another. Is that true with parents and children as well? Of course it is. Is that true with an employer and employee? Right? There has to be some sort of communication to be successful. Think about this. What do you say about your high school friends? Your old high school buddies that you had, that you spent every single day with, and when you talked, to them on the last day of school when you graduated, you said, we're never gonna fall apart, right? We're always gonna talk to each other all the time. What do you say about that person now? We lost touch, right? We've lost touch. We've lost contact. In essence, we've lost communication with them. That's one of those good things that can happen with Facebook, right? There's a lot of bad too. But one of those good things is you can kind of regain some of that contact with those friends. But that communication is important, and it is no different with God. David had a mind to commune with God. If you look at Psalms, in Psalm 5, the fifth Psalm, those first three verses, it says, for the choir director, for flute accompaniment, a psalm of David. He says, give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Heed the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning, I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. So I'm going to pray to you and then I'm going to wait for your response. Now, God is not going to necessarily speak audibly to us, but God speaks to us in a lot of different ways. And so we need to, as David, not only commune with God, but also wait for his response. And again, when we think about the idea of waiting, don't think about just sitting in a chair and going like this until you hear something from God. No, it's more about like a waiter at a restaurant, right? They're waiting on you. They're serving you. That's what we need to be doing while we're waiting on God for that answer. In the 119th Psalm, 147 and 148, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Same thing. My eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. And so again, he says in the morning and in the evening, I'm going to spend some time, some quiet time alone with God. In the first psalm, in those first two verses, how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. How much time are we personally investing in this communication with God? We need to do it every single day. David seemed to have a mind to do it in the morning and in the evening. Right? In the morning and the evening, he talks about. But what we need to do is figure out what's best for us. When can we have quiet time just with us and God? One of the things that I've been trying to do with even my own kids, and I fail at it a lot, but just have some one-on-one time with them. Right? And so I take, it's daddy-daughter dates, right? So I take the girls on daddy-daughter dates, and then Braden and I have dude days, right? So they both start with D. Corny, I know. But Braden and I have dude days, and the girls have daddy-daughter dates. Because to me, it's important to get that one-on-one time with my kids. How much more important is it between us and God to get that one-on-one time? Not just when we're here, not just even family time, which we'll talk about later, but personal, individual, one-on-one time with your Creator. We need to be willing to invest that time. That's making good use of our time. Understand, there are going to be exceptions to that. That something's going to happen, you're going to get busy, right? And you're going to miss a night, or you're going to miss a morning. Your alarm clock doesn't go off and you got to rush off to work, and so you missed your time with God. We understand things like that are going to happen. Or something happens and you get a phone call and you've got to rush out at night and you don't get your quiet alone time with God. But if we do this every single day, if we set our minds to do it every day, then this will be the exception to the rule and not the norm. Not where we spend every once in a while we have some quiet time with God, but that most of the time we have our quiet time with God and occasionally it gets interrupted. And I know that sometimes you say, well, yeah, preacher, but that's easy for you, right? You work one day a week and you spend, that's what you do for a living, so it's easier for you. I'm blessed beyond measure, I know. But let me just tell you, David had a lot of stuff going on, whether I do or not. Now, it wasn't until I moved here that I went down to one, I have one job since I've moved here, and I am so thankful for that. And so when I was at Barnesville and when I was at Middleburn, I had two jobs, two full-time jobs. But that's not an excuse for me. It wasn't an excuse for David. Do you think David had a lot going on? He was the king of an entire country, an entire nation. And yet he is saying to himself, I need to set that time aside for me and for God. The next thing that I want us to consider to make good use of our time is to read and pray as a family. Do you ever do anything for your kids? That's a silly question, right? Say, we would do anything for our kids. And so, in fact, you may have a similar scenario as this. Well, I wake them up in the morning, right? I make sure that they get their breakfast. I make sure that they get dressed. Make sure that they get off to school. More than likely, they forgot something, and so I've got to run it to school to them and come back home and get ready for them to come home. And then when school's out, I've got to go pick them up. They've obviously got sports or band or some extracurricular activity that they're doing, so I run them there. I feed them again when they get home, right? We make sure they got their homework. Then we probably got to feed them again before they start getting ready for bed. And again, maybe they forgot something that's due the next day and you got to run them to Walmart and bring them back so that they can work on whatever it is and feed them again and all of those things that we would do for our kids. We would do anything for them, right? And so what's the application? What's the question? What did we do maybe last week that is going to matter in eternity? All of those things that we do for our kids matter, right? But what's going to matter in eternity that we've done for our kids? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. But have nothing to do with worldly fables, fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For bodily discipline is only of little profit. But godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. I think sometimes there's this odd balance, right? That the importance is somehow reversed. That all of those things that are maybe bodily good for them, right? Making sure, and again, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying school is bad, right? But making sure they've got homework done and getting them to practices. And again, all of those things can be important. But how often is that imbalanced with the things that are eternally important? Right? Because at some point, they're not going to be in school anymore. At some point, they're not going to be an athlete anymore. They're going to want to be, right? But they're not going to be that anymore. And so this is going to matter to them. We need to spend time at home teaching them about things that matter. And again, the question can come, but when? When are we going to do that? We are so busy. I believe we read this last week, but listen to what God says to the children of Israel, starting in verse 5 of Deuteronomy 6. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. You shall bind them as signs on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. God says, find time. When they get up, when they lie down, when they're walking around the house, when you're sitting down together, any and all times, it is important that they know these things. Make sure that they're ingrained in their mind and in their heart or on their heart. Why? Because eventually they'll be gone. And they're supposed to be gone. Right? Matthew chapter 19 and verse 5. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. You're raising your children to leave you one day. Now the question is, what do you want their home life to be like? What are we teaching them? Would we be comfortable saying, you know what? I hope, Braden, that you become a father like me or a husband like me. I want you to be better. I want you to do better. And so what does that mean? Hey, don't yell at your wife like I just yelled at your mom. No, show them. Teach them. Right? You need to sit down with your kids and read the Bible to them more than what I did for you. No, sit down and read it with them and teach them. Show them that that is important, that that's what you want their home life to look like. Whether you're a preacher or not, whether you become a preacher or not. And to the girls, find somebody. Right? Find someone where spiritual things are important to them so that they'll sit down with your children and they'll read God's word together with you and with your children, and they'll pray with you and they'll pray for you. And don't just say those things, but do them. That's how we can make good use of our time that we have here on earth. And finally, this evening, we can make good use of our time by gathering here in worshiping, or anywhere else really, and worshiping with God's people. Yes, there's times when we can be alone with God. There's times where we can be with our family and God. And there's times where we need to be together, all of us, with God and worshiping God. Hebrews chapter 10. Here we go. Here's the preacher talking about Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25 again. Right? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. We've heard it, preacher. Right? I can remember these lessons. Right? I can remember people saying, you know, Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake the assembly. You need to be here because God says so. There's a little more in the context than just God wants you to be here. God says so. There's a little more in that context. I want to go back and look at the entire sentence, right? Because if you look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, he actually starts in the middle of a sentence. So let's go back to the beginning, just the beginning of the sentence, and figure out what God says. Now, starting in verse 23, he says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful." One of the things that I want to pull out there is that it seems that probably when he's telling them, you need to hold fast, that there were some people that weren't holding fast. And so one of the ways that he suggests that we get or allow people to hold fast is in verse 24. "And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds." So, part of that solution was you need to stimulate each other to love and good deeds. Well, how do you do that? "Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." If we have in our mind, and it doesn't matter where it is, it can be a worship service here, like what we're doing today, right now. It could be a Bible study here, like we do on Sunday mornings and Wednesday evenings. It could be a Bible study in somebody's home. It doesn't even have to be a Bible study. It could be somebody has invited you, a Christian has invited you over to their home just to have a meal together. If you find yourself thinking, "I don't want to be around those people again," we've got a problem. Because God says, you need to stimulate each other to love and to good deeds. You need to be around each other to do that. And if we're saying, "Not those people again," then we've got problems. It's not just about, "Oh, I'm going to have to sit and listen through another one of Tony's lessons." It is so far not about that. It is so much not about God just saying, "Go to church." What I'm telling you is God thinks it's important that we be together. Why? Think about it. What percentage of the people do you know in your life that are Christians? Think about when you went to school. I'm guessing at my school, it was below 1% that people were trying to live a spiritual life. I got to guess it was below 0%. If somebody else has, or below 1%, if somebody else has a higher percentage, I would love to hear about it. But it seems like there were probably 400 kids in my high school from that freshman all the way to seniors. And there was a handful, maybe. And I didn't do as well as I should. But there was a handful, maybe. Right? People at work. Think about it. Now, again, some places of work are, you know, seem to be more blessed than others. And that's good. But think about the people at work. What percentage of people are really and truly trying to be Christians? God is trying to tell us, it's important for you to be together. It's important for you to be around one another, so that you can stimulate each other to love and to good deeds. God believes it's important that we meet together. Do we think it's important? What if we intended everything? What if we gather together for everything every time the doors are open? Now that would be Sunday morning for Bible study, Sunday evening, or Sunday morning for worship, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening. We've got two gospel meetings per year. Let's throw in an extra Bible study per week. Okay, one extra Bible study a week and a 30-minute study with our children, our family, every single day. If we do all that, we've spent in that year about 780 hours per year. That seems like a lot, right? 780 hours seems like a lot. Until we realize that there's about 8,760 hours to spend. It's less than 9%. If we do all of that, it's somewhat eye-opening. God wants us to be together. And again, this is not Tony saying, well, Tony wants us to be here for worship service. No, it's God saying you should want to be together. You should want to spend time together, not even just in this place, but outside of this place, so that you can stimulate one another, uplift one another, encourage one another. But yet so many people are squeezing God out of their schedule because God is the easiest thing to squeeze out. Right? Because God is not going to complain to us. God's not going to tap on Tony's shoulder in the middle of the day and say, go read your Bible. Right? He's not going to do that. He wants us to do that. He expects us to do that. But he's not going to tap us on the shoulder. And so God is the easiest thing to squeeze out of our lives. I hope that is not us. Because we need to make as much time as we can for him. We need to spend some time alone with God. Spend some time in prayer. Spend some time reading, meditating, studying. Again, David says several times, at morning and at evening. Maybe that's the right time for you, maybe it's not. But find that time that you can spend alone with God. Find some time. And again, it's hard. You can ask my family, right? Well, when do you guys do it? Well, first we used to do it in the morning, but that didn't seem to work out for everybody. Then we tried to do it right before bed, but we're out so late sometimes that it's when we get home, we don't want to keep the kids up because they're already half screaming and they're tired. And so, now it's at dinner time. We try to read together and talk together. Find it, though. Find the time that works for you. And it's not, it might change, but find time as a family to study God's Word together and talk. And then we need to take time for Him as a group as well. And maybe not just even as a church as a whole, but even those moments when we can just have a Bible study in somebody's home or just go and visit. It doesn't even have to be a Bible study. Just spend time with other Christians. I get joy out of that. I hope you do too. But we need to be making time for that as well. And again, if you're not doing those things, it's a good day to start today. It's a good time to start now. We're getting ready to head off to camp. And again, I don't necessarily like to talk about that necessarily. But we're getting ready to head off to camp. And I can remember when I was a kid and I was going to camp. In some of the bonds that I made at camp with those other Christians that were my age, that were struggling with the same things that I was struggling with, and the bonds that were made. And that while I only saw them once a year and there wasn't a lot of texting, back in the 1990s, and by much texting, any texting back in the 1990s, right? There wasn't email. And I certainly was not going to sit down and write one of my friends a letter and send it in the mail. Typically, those books that you signed that says, keep in touch, here's my number, here's my, mailing address, I dropped in the trash on the way because I knew I wasn't gonna do it. But I'm telling you, when you saw those people once a year, it was like you'd seen them all year because you had so much in common. And it's still like that to this day. Because some of the people that are going to be counselors there this week are people that I went to camp with. And it is immediate, that connection that we have with each other. And just getting to spend time with them, to me, is an uplifting thing. We ought to want to spend time. Yes, you should want to spend more time with me. I know it's hard. But I should want to spend more time with you, too. And you should want to spend more time with each other. It's not just about, we got to come and we got to worship and we got to, listen. It's not just about that. God thinks that this is important and we need to make it important and make a priority to meet together, to meet as a family, and to meet God individually. If you're here and not a child of God, you cannot commune with God the way that you should be able to. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of your sin, to have that opportunity to commune with God the way that you need to, we can help you with that tonight. We can bury you in baptism tonight, and you can have that relationship with God the way that you need to. If you're here tonight and you are a child of God who has fallen away, who's maybe fallen short in some of the areas that we've talked about tonight, you have time and opportunity to make those things right with your God this very night. If you're here and subject to God's call in any way, won't you please come to the front while we stand and while we sing?